cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Unlock your creative potential without giving up your day job. NIDA Studio courses run part-time across weekends, offering pre-professional training for ages 15+. Guided by Australia's leading practitioners, you'll develop skills in acting, directing, writing, filmmaking or musical theatre over 6 or 12 months. Audition June 24 for a July start. Get details at nida.edu.au/studios. NIDA is a proud sponsor of 2SER.
Yeah, that's right. From Paris with Love or Shove, you're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3. Got a huge show for you this evening. Some men just want to watch the world burn, as they say in Batman. Trump becomes the villain after pulling out of Paris Climate Accords. If only his parents had pulled out too soon as well. The knives are out. Turnbull experiencing deja voodoo as a conga line of liberal suckholes demand that Australia follow Trump's lead. Leading from behind, Shorten fails to condemn the world's largest coal mine, while Turnbull ignores his own advisor on carbon pricing. And how low can they go? Both major parties continue to suck hard and blow hard in the latest news poll as Australians continue to hate their political leaders. All that and more. Stick around, you're on the Gristle. Yeah. That's right, you're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3. 2SER.com. Big shout out to The Wire. Check it out if you can. Great quality content, as we always have here on this great station, 2SER FM. Now, it looks like we're all going to hell in a handbasket. The knives are, Donald Trump. I mean, I can just say that, and then we just have half an hour of silence.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah, let's just aggregate our 1 minute of silence that the world is going to have after the Trump presidency ends in a mushroom cloud. Donald Trump pulled out like a one-night stand behind a King's Cross nightclub, and of the Paris Convention, not unlike said one-night stand, he is copying it from all sides, as he should, completely sabotaging. Irrespective of whether it's climate change or anything, it is so difficult to get agreement from, 168 countries, whatever it was, to do anything, let alone deal with, as St. Kevin Rudd said, the moral challenge of our time. Here to discuss this evening with me, the Punditaker, is Warm Lettuce.
Giggity.
And Fighting Irish.
Mate.
He's here. He's queer. No, he's not queer. But he will be after the temperature rises by 10% thanks to Donald, by 10 degrees thanks to Donald Trump. Now, Warm Lettuce, Trump had been...
dance floor. Sure.
Trump had been making sort of bowel-sounding movements about the Paris Accord during the US presidential election campaign. Should this really come as a surprise to seasoned watchers of this topic?
Nah, probably not. Seasoned watchers of the topic might remember that he once described it as a hoax perpetuated by the Chinese. That's right, to advantage their manufacturing. So that gives you an idea.
But how does that even work?
Like, now the biggest supporter of these Paris climate talks.
Yeah, I know.
The EU, mate, it should be a really interesting hoax, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this is also a guy that takes his fun tweeting at Rosie O'Donnell. I'm surprised that he didn't blame her or CNN for coming
up
with it.
Now, I would actually believe that. Yeah. That is the one Trump that I would Trump tweet that I would retweet, because I can't get enough of his opinions of Rosie O'Donnell. Now, of course, in practice, obviously the US, I think, still the leading emitter.
Yes, second largest.
Oh, okay.
China being largest.
And look, everyone is catastrophizing, rightly so, about Trump's idiocy. But there's somewhat of a silver lining to this, isn't there, team? Because, you know, I don't know if you saw it during the week, but I think there was a tweet or something from the head of Exxon Mobil saying that they should stay in the Paris Agreement. So it's not like there is a consensus.
So the current?
Yeah,
head of
that's right.
Yeah. The Secretary of State?
Yeah,
Former?
The Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, also said we should stay in it. So that's two former Exxon people. Actually, BHP Billiton sent their CEO to meet with Trump, and he also agreed with it.
Goldman Sachs
did
as well.
It's insane. Oil and gas and fossil fuel companies of the world saying, nah, mate, just stay in. It's more disappointing than the last One Night in Paris video that I remember watching online. Really, just you've got to think, what are you doing, mate?
I don't know.
One Night in Paris. Indeed, it's like a Pierre Woodman special with Trump. Now, of course, you know, calls here, and we alluded to it during the introduction. This is a nice time to segue into the next topic. Calls here for Australia to pull out. Now, pulling out, sort of pre-varicating on climate policy is not done.
We're pulling out of climate policy?
Well, I'm trying to keep this PG rated because we've got gay panic after this, and hopefully all the kids will be in bed before that show starts. Pulling out, or you know, changing one's position, adopting a bit of a Kama Sutra attitude to climate policy has not served Malcolm Turnbull well in the past, but his backbench is gagging for it, aren't they, Warm Lettuce?
They absolutely are. We've already had five coalition MPs come out and say that we got to get out of this thing. They're running for the doors. Barnaby Joyce, who is not only the Deputy Prime Minister but the head of the Nationals, has come out and said, I'm not even sure if we should be in this thing. And the same people that replaced Malcolm last time when Abbott swooped in and did the old knifey knife.
The knifey knifey?
Yeah, knifey knifey. They're all gearing up again. They're getting ready. And you've got to remember that in a week's time, Turnbull's going to have to reintroduce his new climate policies because they're going to get the Finkel review. And when that happens, he'll have a choice of going down the carbon price route, which got him knifed last time, or appeasing the skeptics in his party. And if you look at his Facebook, any of you can jump on now, you go to his Facebook, you go to his Twitter, you'll see he hasn't made a single statement on Paris.
Some comments
Which is amazing, because every other leader in the world has said something, but Turnbull, who normally loves his social media, quiet. And what? I think that says how scared he is that Tony Abbott's in the wings waiting to release some hot air in his direction as well.
It is insane, isn't it? I mean, you sort of think that the Liberal Party would have learnt their lesson. I mean, obviously, you know, the sort of throngs of white privilege have meant that they haven't got the message. I mean, I just wonder, you know, again, taking this angle that, look, let's face it, there's a lot of people who want to make money and they have an interest in the Liberal Party, and they keep telling the Liberals, we want to make money, that's why we're interested in this. We don't really give two shits about those non-deodorant-wearing people that live in Marrickville and who listen to us. Yeah, like seriously, I don't understand why is the business wing not being listened to? Is it because of the triumph of Breitbart politics in the Liberal Party?
It's got to be, because you look at conservatives historically speaking. So the person who founded the EPA, the Environmental Protection Authority in America, was Richard Nixon.
He was a lump of coal, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you want to know who fixed the hole in the ozone layer and saved it from going to shit under the Montreal Protocol? That was Ronald Reagan, the first world leader to talk about climate change, Margaret Thatcher. Around the world, there are conservatives literally everywhere, in the UK, certainly in the New Zealand, to a lesser extent with Malcolm Turnbull, who want action on climate change. But the latest branch are these anti-science, almost like anti-vaxxers.
Yeah.
They don't believe it. Yeah. They're like, oh no, it's been cold yesterday, so global warming isn't happening. Which is a bit like saying, well, we fixed world hunger because I ate yesterday.
It's true, isn't it? And just on that point, I mean, do you guys both, I mean, one of the things that jumps out at me is, like, sometimes policy aims become like fashion, and so, like, for a lot of people, climate change is like a fashionable thing, as in there's a lot of people that really aren't down with the science, and actually if a scientist came out and said, well, it's not that bad, they probably wouldn't believe them because it's like fashionable. Do you think, Fighting Irish, that that's maybe like, say, your average corporate beer gut at the Australia Club sees the aforementioned Marrickville activists and goes, I don't know what they're talking about, but I don't like it because it's the
Marrickville activists.
It's the smell of patchouli they don't like.
Yeah, it's really interesting because something that sort of people, you know, that, you know, you talk in terms of your conservatives and your inner city people, and that's really interesting, but something that people kind of forget about are the people who live in the suburbs, who have their own, like, ideas again, who aren't really reflected in terms of debate, you know, within kind of the social conscious at the moment.
Do you think they care about climate change out in the suburbs?
I think they do.
I think, as an inner city person myself, I often wonder.
I think they do, but the thing is
isn't it 3 degrees hotter out in Parramatta? It's actually hotter.
Well, you know, that depends. Me. Depends where you are. You know, I think, you know, in terms of where I live, I think Annandale is probably three degrees hotter. But I think that, you know, in terms of this group, there's another group as well that people are forgetting about.
Ignored by the party.
Well, yeah. Not just being ignored by the party, but being ignored in the actual whole debate. And I think that's really important that, you know, people aren't kind of grasping.
They don't have a beer gut at the table, basically. Yeah, that is the problem. The Australia Club, there is not some rotund, corpulent corporate executive who's actually speaking for Western Sydney, basically.
Well, not just Western
Sydney. Maybe Mark. Someone get Mark Latham in there.
Not just Western Sydney, though.
Can we actually ask Mark Latham to come on the gristle? I would find
Mark Latham if you're out there.
But we do need to go to an ad break.
We do. This is Drake, someone whose tracky danks no doubt get hotter than climate change ever will. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about Bill Shorten leading from behind, and how low can they go? Stick around. You're on 2SCR 107.3. Hey. You was your mess, ayy. Can't keep my dick in my pants, ayy. My bitch don't love me no more, ayy. She kicked me out of life, bro. Damn, son, where'd you find this? Yeah. Ayy. Yeah. Ayy. Yeah. Ayy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, ayy. Ayy, ayy, ayy. I like bitch who is your mess, ayy. Can't keep my dick in my pants, ayy. My bitch don't love me no more, ayy. She kick me out of life, bro, ayy. That bitch don't wanna be friends, ayy. I give her this, she a man, ayy. She put her 10 on my dick, ayy. Look at my wrist about 10. World-renowned scientist, humanitarian, conservationist and UN Messenger of Peace, Dr. Jane Goodall returns to Australia with her message of hope for the future. Think Inc. and the Jane Goodall Institute Australia invite you to enjoy a rare opportunity to witness her on stage on June 23 at the Horden Pavilion. Info and tickets at thinkinc.org.au. Sponsors of 2SER 107.3. Yeah, that's right. You're on 2SCR 107.3 and 2SCR.com, and possibly even downloading one of our podcasts or listening online. Check it out if you can, when you can. With me, the Punditaker, Fighting Irish, and Warm Lettuce. And apologies for that last track. It was a bit NSFW, a.k.a. Gay Panicky. That was KMT featuring Giggs. We didn't quite realise.
That was certainly not Drake.
It certainly wasn't Drake. It was like Drake after he'd been dumped by Rihanna because she couldn't handle his grey sweatpants.
3 a.m. in the morning, like at the club.
Indeed. Things are getting very messy. And talking about grey sweatpants and leading from behind or taking from behind, Bill Shorten failing to condemn the Dunny coal mine. Now, Labor, of course, there is a big campaign called Stop Adani. You might have seen the sort of funny-looking stop sign stickers. Basic issue is there is consensus in Queensland politics among Labor and the LNP up there that they want the mine to go ahead, basically, because of jobs. And I think Federal Labor is not going to change their position. Warm Lettuce, this because Bill Shorten, AW Queensland wants mine.
Well, sometimes I find it hard to really tell the difference between Bill Shorten's ass and a hole in the ground, and that's because these days Bill Shorten's ass is a hole in the ground, and that hole is called Adani Carmichael.
After that Drake track, I think we need to settle it down. Keep it PG.
But we shouldn't really call it a mine. So for listeners, it's actually a whole series of mines that they're going to be building. And if you cram them all together, it's larger than the entire size of Paris. So it's
really?
A massive. Wow. Yeah, it's going to be 60 kilometers, square kilometers in either direction.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
It is going to be the largest coal export project in the world.
It's just Point Abbott, is it?
Out of Point Abbott. It's going to be the largest coal export project.
What is it with things
called
Abbott being
and
bad?
The amount of coal that comes out every year from this one location on the one place on the planet, Galilee, is equivalent to 8% of the entire planet's global coal supply exports every year.
But how many free staffers for a Labor political operative is it equivalent to?
Well, I don't know, mate. It depends.
Now,
yes, that's pretty big. But Shorten won't say no, even in the wake of Trump pulling out of climate change. You'd think we don't have any more space left. We've got to literally do everything we can to stop the planet lighting itself on fire, like somebody that spilt too much alcohol on themselves and then decides to have a cigarette. But cigarette is the Adani coal mine, and we got to do it. We got to do it.
Now, Fighting Irish. Those points certainly taken, and look, a lot of Tuatha Dé Danann listeners will feel very passionately about this issue, but one of the counterpoints is, A, it doesn't matter what we do because China builds a new horrible coal-fired power station every week or what month, so frankly, we don't matter in the scheme of things, and B, it's better to, I'm not saying this is my view, but the argument is that it's better for the world to burn Aussie coal than the shit coal they have elsewhere, which is worse for the environment.
I've got this. So with Adani, obviously the coal is your thermal coal, so it's not your high quality coal. It's your rough as guts coal.
Oh, is it? Oh, I always thought that it was better.
High ash content, high sulfur content.
Ah,
it's actually worse than
it's
the
Joe Bjorky Peterson quality coal.
It's actually worse than
some might say.
It's actually
it's
worse.
Corrupt coal.
It's corrupt coal. It's actually worse than the average quality of coal that India currently has.
Is it worse than helmet coal?
Yeah.
I keep saying we're going to burn helmet coal.
He's a nice guy.
He's
a really nice guy. He's just like, why are you taking helmet coal? I don't understand.
He was able to keep the world cold.
It is rubbish. And the other thing is, sorry, just for the record, China's not opening a new station every week. In fact, they recently closed down 104 coal.
Did they?
They're going nuclear.
India has announced that it is phasing out coal imports completely. So it makes no sense for us to build this mine. I can't understand why anybody would back it. And frankly, the country needs to make a decision whether they want this big hole in the ground or the Great Barrier Reef, because you cannot have both. And the Great Barrier Reef creates $63,000 in tourism, and the Adani coal mine is $1,400.
This is the thing.
It is like a no-brainer.
It's like the point when everyone craps on about, coal miners and Trump towns and coal miners here in Australia, but actually most people, like, if you go to the regions, there are more people working in health and community services than bloody coal mining, but no one ever hears a big whinge about, oh, those poor bloody nurses.
But I think the thing is at the moment, though, is like Queensland, Western Australia, their economies are super depressed.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like,
they're cost centres.
Yeah, like, for example, like, Western Australian property went down, I think 10% last month.
Yeah.
20%. Like 20 in the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, you don't have that happening anywhere else in Australia.
It's indexed to their contributions to the GST.
Well, they're not contributing as much as they used to. Jobs, jobs are really important for these people, and that's the issue.
They are. Because then they can start mooching off us here in Sydney, even though I actually am from Perth. Now, before we go to the break, talk about mooching and not so much smooching if you're the Liberal Party.
Or Drake.
Or Drake. Poor Drake. Sucking hard and blowing hard. Latest news poll. Aussies aren't exactly enamoured with their political leaders. Labor's still ahead. Is it still 53-47?
Yeah, 53-47.
But approval ratings, net approval, I don't have them in front of me. The net approval ratings are somewhere that you'd find at the bottom of the Adani coal mine, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. In fact, both of our leaders actually have lower net approval ratings than Donald Trump.
They are below the sea level.
They are less popular than the orangutan in America. They are
orangutan.
Don't knock orangutans.
That's true, actually. Orangutans are
Don't you cast aspersions on
species.
If only Trump was an endangered species.
No. They're very unpopular. People want somebody new and exciting.
But look, but just on that, I mean, you know, of course the conventional wisdom is, you know, like when Turnbull came in prior to people realising that he was as shitty as he was the first time, his approval ratings went up. But if you look at who people vote for in this country, they voted for Bob Hawke, but actually John Howard and Bob Menzies...
They always had low approval.
Yeah, and so you sort of wonder whether we really want that in our leaders.
Sadists, and we want to be punished. Sadists.
I can see John Howard as a sadist. I mean, he had Peter Reith as bloody IR minister. Yeah, exactly. I think pretty sadistic.
I think the thing with this is that, you know, Australians want, you know, stable leadership. Whether people appreciate their.
You're saying they want Mark Latham?
Well, not. They weren't super keen on him and
stable.
You know,
secure, competent leadership. You sound like a Tony Abbott commercial.
Well, they voted for him as well, so, you know.
That's true. Well,
actually,
look,
the most stable leader currently at the moment on that topic is Bill Shorten. He's the first Labor leader to go as long as he currently has since
he's
Ken
the marathon
Beasley.
Man.
Yeah,
he's the marathon man.
So there you go.
Wow. Anyway. All right. I dream of Bill Shorten and Electric Sheep. Look, we're going to go to a track. And after the break, we're going to be talking about Gonski and fashionably late New South Wales government and housing affordability. And we're going to talk about do you guys see the mortgage default, 25%?
Yeah, wow. We're all
in trouble. Everyone move to Merrickville and start renting. You're on the Gristle 2SER 107.3. This is Steve Lacey. Stick around. You're on 2SER. You're on the Crystal on 2SER 107.3 and 2SER.com. And look, in this final 10 minutes, we have for you Gonski, Dead Point. Labor and the Greens continue to oppose needs-based education reform despite a high probability that Turnbull will be knifed, House of Cards style, and a worse scheme will be put in place. This is a very good point, isn't it? After the budget, Labor was looking for angles to attack the coalition after they pinched most of Labor's ideas.
Yeah,
they tried to deny it was Labor light. And I sort of agreed with Albo, but saying, look, we should accept this as a victory. I'm a Labor guy. It seems like Labor's struggling for a sense of definition since the co-option of its policies. Warm lettuce. Free advice for Bill Shorten here.
Mate, just take the win. Run with it. I mean, this is the first time I can remember the Libs saying, we're going to accept a left-wing premise that we should redistribute funds according to need. That is not going to fly as soon as Turnbull's out.
You think if Abbott was in there,
he would go for it.
Exactly.
Or Peter Dutton, none of them will go for it.
Yeah.
Their whole thing is about funding private schools.
Yeah.
So, yes, the money isn't perfect, But you know what? Let's lock in a win. Even if it's 60% better than what we'd get, we're most of the way there.
I know.
Then go to the next election.
And I don't get this. I don't get this. Fighting Irish. You know, Shorten is the centre unity guy. I mean, centre unity, for those who don't know, they're the right-wing faction of the Labor Party. They're all about pragmatic. You take your 60-40 over nothing. Where in polling land is there a screaming constituency that says no, fight these? Like, I don't get it.
So the other issue is that in polling land, there's no screaming constituency for really Gonski, to be honest. There's no, like, sure, like,
it's, isn't it popular? I thought it was popular.
I think the polling on Gonski is very good.
Yeah, but I think the message on Gonski is not very clear. And
people,
so it's,
like, the idea of more money for it, but they, yeah, don't really, like,
they don't know what it is. So, like, Gonski, yeah, is that something we order at a bar?
Yeah, no, like, is that Negroni? Is that a Negroni? Like a vodka?
Do you have
like
it with
an
lemon?
Esky that your friend takes an esky with him when he leaves
Gonski.
The party, and you've gone, it's now
he's
a Gonski.
Yeah, he's taking all my beers. Is, yeah. He's going Gonski.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the thing. Like, it's not easy to the messaging isn't easy on it. Yep. It's not very clear.
But if that's the case, though, then why the hell are Labor digging in the ditch about an unclear message, which they're probably not going to make clearer?
I just don't want Claire to come out against it. They don't know how to take a win. And on that, this is
don't
where
they take
I
wins
think
from behind?
This is, yeah, maybe. this brings us to the next topic, which of course is housing affordability.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
No, I think Labor should take the win on this. The Liberals have also swallowed up a bunch of Labor policy.
Yeah,
they're going to start taxing foreign investors that are buying our property even more.
You hear that, Xi Jinping?
Yeah.
You're about to be taxed more.
So if you combine, the Libs have come out, Labor just a week ago said we're going to increase the foreign investor tax to 7.5%. By coincidence, I'm sure, this week the Liberal Party comes out and says 7.5%. No, we're going to do 8%. That was our plan all along.
Supermarket sweep.
0.5% more. That's crazy. What is going on?
Big news.
I know. It just means all those foreign buyers are going to have to funnel even more local government funds from Guangdong province into
Great
Dubai.
Province. Let's
hear it for provinces. I mean, now, you know, just on that topic, obviously the Libs are doing what they do best, which is pilfering Labor's ideas because they've got none of their own. But this point about, you know, it was in the Herald this afternoon, and I haven't got the exact details, but something like 25% of mortgages are defaulting, but obviously banks and borrowers are coming to arrangements. I mean, as in, if banks decided to sue people for not paying their bills on time, 25% of people would be losing their houses. I mean, surely...
It's a remarkable statistic.
This is the biggest bloody red light you can have.
Well, it's actually higher than the default rate that was going on in the subprime crisis before the
market
collapsed.
It's insane. Yeah.
But to put it in perspective, here's the rub. 25%, by coincidence, of the new supply that comes out every year in New South Wales get swallowed up by foreign home investors, which have been pushing up the prices. So we have all of these people that are suddenly going to withdraw from the market at the same time that all these people are defaulting on our debt. You put those two things together, it is half the mortgage market that is basically in crisis territory. And if that doesn't signal that we are going to see some serious economic problems into the future, I don't know what does. So watch this space. We've already seen house prices go down a bit. If you're thinking about buying, and our listeners might be, they're that demographic. Well, you know, if they're wealthy.
No,
that
no, no. If your parents are thinking of buying.
If your parents are thinking, you might actually have a chance. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a big downturn.
Oh, I would
welcome it.
I can think of nothing more satisfying than purchasing an undervalued baby boomer house and watching them serve me soy lattes.
That's true. Sorry.
The other thing that's happening is that you're going to have all these properties come onto the market soon as well from these baby boomers to just, you know, increase the capacity for home buyers.
Yes,
to, make
negative equity. Say it with me. Negative equity sounds so sweet on the tongue.
I think it's the first time people
don't
that
drink
you,
wine tonight. Drink baby boomer tears.
Indeed, indeed. In fact, you know what? You know, neck that smashed Avo in the morning as well. All right, that's all we have time for. Talking about a hive of smashed Avo, gay panic coming up. If you want to live like a smashed Avo, listen to those guys. Always great show from them and all the great shows here on 2SCR. Taking us out, the ultimate smash dabo, Jackson 5, stick around, this has been The Gristle on 2SR 107.3.
You're